topic.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Tim is off this morning. I'm Brian. Glad to be here today. The host of Brian's Beat, Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. And also the new Freedom Fools, Monday through Friday from 6 to 7. All of it right here on WBSM. We have been talking about a couple of things. One, postage stamps. First time you mailed a letter, how much was that stamp? How much did it cost you to mail that letter? 5 cents for me. Reason why I'm bringing this up, 1792, the Postal Service was actually created, formed, signed into law by then President George Washington. And to piggyback on your first stamp, I'm also asking the question, has the Postal Service run its course? In other words, should it be dozed? Should Elon Musk, should Donald Trump, and the Department of Government Efficiency decide that the Postal Service just isn't efficient enough and our tax dollars should not go to support it? Because we have other organizations. First and foremost, when it comes to mail, we've got email. We also have fax machines. You know, if you need to do some business correspondence, fax machines still do a lot of that. And there are e-sign documents that you can use even for purchases like buying a home. So there are ways to get around having to do regular mailing. And if you do want to mail, then why not use a DHL? Why not use Federal Express or UPS? Why not let the private sector get some of that do-re-mi? Why should the Postal Service have a monopoly on first class and for that matter, even some third class mail? So that's out there for you. The other thing, and to be honest with you, I've been meaning to bring this up on the night show, but I just have not had the opportunity. There is a bill up on Bacon Hill to allow women to walk around, run around, bare-chested, legally, outside. I know that there are people scoffing at this. Why would a woman want to do that? I wouldn't want my daughter to do that. And if I had a daughter, I would probably feel the same way. But I would not want to deny any woman the opportunity if they feel it's all right, if they feel safe doing it, to go ahead and go around topless in public. Now, there's stores that say no shoes, no shirt, no service. And that's up to the individual shop. I don't know how many women would even want to walk around without a top on in public. I mean, women get upset when guys' eyes just kind of move from the head area down. So why would I think that they would want to show themselves off without a shirt, without a bathing suit top? But I don't want to deny them that opportunity. Now, this is a bill in the legislature. My guess is, only a guess, it's going to take a lot of rallying from women in order to get this passed. I'm not sure that it will pass. The legislature, to the best of my knowledge, is still predominantly male. So I don't see this passing this time around. But it probably should. And I say it should because we're in that day, we're in that age where women do have equal rights. And we should afford them that equal right. Nobody says they have to go around topless. It gives them the option to do so if they so desire. So that is the other thing that is out there. I do not know, and I did not get the opportunity to look to see if we had a caller earlier who mentioned that Senator Markey was on a Providence talk show, and he had mentioned it was time for a revolution. Markey, that is. He didn't talk violence in the revolution, and quite frankly, there have been coups and revolutions that have been bloodless. There have been no violence, just a takeover. I would comment that I believe that we have been in a revolution, a long, long transition. If you think back to what the United States of America was, let's say in the 1920s, the roaring 20s, as they were, you know, I wasn't around then, but there were hardly any laws on the books. You get into the 30s, we go into the Depression, and FDR starts mandating a lot of things, including a Social Security Act and more. And then in the 1940s, didn't we get into, what do they call that? The withholding tax, you know, from your paycheck. And then more laws, more taxes, more laws as we get into the 60s. More regulations start coming out. More agencies are formed on the state level and on the federal level. We go from a Department of Health, Education, and Welfare to Health and Human Services and the Department of Education. We've got a president who wants to close down the Department of Education right now. I think we are going through a revolution. And it's going to be one way or the other, one of three ways, maybe. Either we get back to being the capitalist nation that we started out as, or we transition into socialism. And you might be saying, what the hell are you talking about? Well, what do you call Romney care, which is the health care that we have here in the Commonwealth? Everybody pays into it. Not everybody is afforded the opportunity of using it, but there's Romney care. On the national level, we call it Obamacare. Everybody pays into it. Not everybody uses it, but there are rules and regulations that we're all a part of it. To me, this is happening incrementally. It doesn't just like you turn on flip the light switch and all of a sudden, boom, socialism, it's here. No, it's happening gradually. And most people at the beginning, they fought it, but now they look to hold on to it. Here's another example. Education. There was a huge fight at the beginning when the Department of Education became a department in, I think, 1977. Now you've got people fighting to keep a Department of Education, and not just the people that work for the Department of Education. The Department of Education sends a lot of your tax dollars, distributes all over the country. And if you happen to have heard Freedom Fools last night, we talked about dismantling diversity, equity, and inclusion, and what happens, for instance, in the city of New Bedford, if they do it, in order to keep the federal funding coming in, and if they don't do it, losing all of that federal funding. So it's like the federal government has, you know, a noose in this particular case. It's around your neck, and there are 13 loops on top, and they're getting a little bit tighter and tighter and tighter. You've got the option, if you're the city of New Bedford, if you're the town of Fairhaven and Dartmouth and Acushnet, you've got the option. Do you want to keep diversity, equity, and inclusion and risk losing federal funding? Or would you prefer to keep that federal funding and do what the president has suggested and get rid of DEI? If you've listened to me for any length of time, you know that I'm against the Department of Education. I would have done away. I never would have had it. But now you see what it's like. The federal government or the state government or city government can giveth. They can also taketh away. And in this particular case, people have gotten comfortable with DEI programs, whether they like them or not. They're used to them being around. They're used to the camaraderie of the person who works or people that work in that department. And now look, they may be losing a colleague. They may lose funding. These are the choices. And I don't know exactly how it's going to wash out in the end, whether we're talking New Bedford, whether we're talking Dartmouth, or some of these other cities and towns. And it's not just about race, although a lot of people look at it that way. What about the disabled? Now, most people are going to say, oh, well, the president won't take wheelchair accessibility away. Really? They have been hinting at touching Medicaid and Medicare. They are more than hinting at closing the Department of Education. They are talking about cuts that could start, in fact, today with the Department of Defense. So why would you not think that some of these other cuts would happen? 508-996-0500 is how you get onto the program today. Cuts. Should women be allowed to walk publicly bare-chested in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts? You know what? Why does that have to pinned with state government? Why can't Acushnet, why can't Dartmouth, Westport, why can't they decide if they want women to be bare-chested in their community? Why can't they vote? And so it's legal to do it here, not legal to do there. Or, you know, I can see a lot of these beach communities. Why not? Or why not? It's only good at the beach. It's about the option. That's the way I look at it. What about you? 508-996-0500. Brian in today for Tim. Brian in for Tim. How you doing? few things out there in the table real early in the morning. You know, we've been talking about dozing. And I brought it up on my Saturday show this past Saturday that Massachusetts needs a doge, a good dozing. But on the federal level, I'm asking today, since it is the anniversary of the creation of the United States Postal Service, has the Postal Service run its course? Is it time that we give it the axe? Just say goodbye to it. It's costing the taxpayers a lot of money. And I don't know that there's a good return on our investment. There are a lot of employees, civil service employees. But when I went in there a few weeks ago to the one by Kohl's in Dartmouth, I had to stand there. I rang the bell. I didn't shout, but I said, hello, hello. Finally, a woman came as if she was the only one working there. Made me think, are they going through some of the same problems that other employers are? And if so, then look, you'll probably be able to find a couple of folks that are not here legally that may want to do that particular job. I digress. But has the Postal Service run its course? Is it time that we say goodbye and turn that type of operation? It's not like you wouldn't be able to mail something first class. You just would have options. You know, you could use UPS. And that would afford UPS to drop their rates on other things because now they can get a part of that first class postage. It would allow Federal Express to do the same thing. And DHL. There'd be other companies that would pop up. I'm not trying to say that folks don't mail anything first class anymore. What I'm trying to say is this operation efficient? You know, we've got DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency. Is the Postal Service ripe for being dozed? Dozing, whichever way you want to say it. 508-996-0500. It also reminds me that I mailed my first letter. Cost a nickel. I didn't know the story that the caller previously brought up about his experience. But so be it. If that's what happened to him and his sister, because just the way you did the envelope, the difference between 4 cents and 5 cents. Well, for me, it was 5 cents, but then it went up to 8 cents. And I think the price of a first class letter today is 51 cents. Is it worth it? Is it really worth it? Phil Devitt in Studio 6 and 7/8. Let's find out what's going on.
Trump goes after the president of Ukraine, while the Department of Government Efficiency makes cuts to a 9/11 program. And guess who's lighting up theaters one last time?
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump is criticizing Ukrainian President Zelensky on social media. In a Truth Social post, Trump described Zelensky as a, quote, modestly successful comedian who talked the U.S. into going into a war that couldn't be won. This comes a day after Trump suggested Ukraine started the war with Russia. Trump went on to call Zelensky, quote, a dictator without elections, and claimed he, quote, is very low in Ukrainian polls. He also said the Ukraine-Russia war is more important to Europe than the U.S., and noted, quote, we have a big, beautiful ocean as separation. An illustration posted on social media by the White House depicts President Trump wearing a king's crown. The caption of the post quotes Trump saying, quote, congestion pricing is dead. Manhattan and all of New York is saved. Long live the king. That was taken from a post on Truth Social by Trump. The illustration is reminiscent of a Time magazine cover. It shows a grinning Trump in front of New York City with the words, long live the king, in the lower left corner. Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency is making major cuts to the World Trade Center Health Program. The program provides medical treatment for the 132,000 first responders and survivors of the 9/11 terrorist attacks, despite Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. pledging to help 9/11 survivors. DOGE has laid off 20% of the WTC health program staff. New York Attorney General Letitia James called the cuts reckless and cruel. Senators Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand are demanding a reversal of the decision, saying those who answered the call on 9/11 and are now sick with respiratory ailments, cancer, and other conditions, and they must be taken care of. Two people are dead after a mid-air collision between two small planes in southern Arizona. Police said it happened on Wednesday morning. It's unclear what led up to the incident. The FAA and NTSB are investigating. Federal authorities have busted what they say is a criminal ring breaking into the homes of prominent pro athletes. U.S. Attorney's Office says the seven men from Chile were members of a South American group that burglarized homes of NFL and NBA stars in Kansas City, Tampa, Memphis, and Cincinnati from October through December. An unsealed indictment says the suspects stole more than $2 million worth of valuables. And legendary comedy duo Cheech and Chong will light up movie theaters one final time this spring. The first trailer for Cheech and Chong's last movie was released on Wednesday. It shows Cheech and Chong driving through the desert while reminiscing about their careers. The duo has made more than two dozen movies together, dating back to their 1978 debut, Up in Smoke. Cheech and Chong's last movie will have a limited release on April 20th, followed by a nationwide release on April 25th.
WBSM Sports.
Celtics visit the 76ers in Philadelphia tonight, tip-off at 7. And then on Saturday, regular season resumes for the NHL. Bruins hosting the Ducks with a 7 o'clock puck drop.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Mainly cloudy today, a slim chance of snow showers as a storm passes south, a high of 30. On Friday, partly cloudy, a high of 35. On Saturday and Sunday, mostly sunny with temperatures peaking around 40 degrees. And that takes us into next week, partly cloudy for Monday with a high of 42. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back to the Tim Weisberg Show. Brian in for Tim today. 508-996-0500 to get onto the program. You know, we're about 5 weeks away. About 5 weeks away from the beginning of South Coast Rail. So they say. I don't know if I should cross my fingers, cross my legs. I still get the feeling that there's going to be some type of hang up. I could be wrong. It's been known to happen. I was reading in the Standard Times. Hey, speaking of the Standard Times, pardon me for digressing again. Have you looked at the Standard Times newspaper lately? it seems that they're down, you know, all the news that's fit to print comes out on roughly 8 pages. Now, that doesn't include the coasting flyer that they throw in there, or maybe the real estate section that they add. But they only add those once a week. Different days, but once a week. The paper in and of itself, there's hardly anything to it. Talk about paper thin. That's what the Standard Times is. Very, very thin. Okay, enough of that. The MBTA is allowing people that are under the age of 11. This isn't anything new, by the way. Under the age of 11 to ride the commuter rail for FREE free. If you're legally blind, FREE free. Active duty military, FREE free. If you're a state trooper, FREE free. If you are a police officer or firefighter in uniform, FREE free. A plainclothes detective with your badge, FREE free. A public utilities employee or elevator inspector, FREE free. Huh. A plainclothes detective with your badge. Police or firefighter in uniform. It doesn't say the state trooper has to be in uniform. Active duty military. So I guess if you're a reservist and it's your weekend to serve or your 2 week duty, you would be active at that particular time. You get to ride the commuter rail for free. A lot of folks can ride the commuter rail for free or get a discount. Reduced fare, 81 age 65 or older. People 18 to 64 who get some type of state assistance, you'll get a reduced ride. And down here, a reduced ride up to the big city would be $6 as opposed to $12.25. Disabled folks, reduced fare. Medicare card holders. Wow. So if you're a Medicare card holder and you're 65 or older, do you get the double discount? Probably not. If you can get a reduced fare, you can get a reduced fare if you're receiving SNAP. If you're on SNAP, how many folks are on SNAP in New Bedford? How many folks are on SNAP? Lots of people. Mass Grant, Mass Health Care Plus, Family Assistance, Limited or Standard Plans. If you're on any of those plans, you can get a reduced ride on the MBTA, on the commuter rail. That begs the question, how are these guys going to make any money? How is the MBTA going to pay for itself? And the reason why I bring this up is obviously the Commonwealth of Massachusetts pays money to the MBTA to keep it afloat because they're in the red right now. But the federal government also pays money to the MBTA. Department of Transportation, and then it filters down to the MBTA. What if, and I don't think this is a big stretch here, what if Elon decides during his dozing spree that he's going to cut transportation funds? I can see that happening. I can see Elon Musk, you know, maybe he doesn't cut them all, but maybe he says, well, look, we wanted to cut SNAP benefits. We wanted to cut aid to families with dependent children. We wanted to cut emergency aid to the elderly, disabled, and children. We wanted to cut some of these programs anyway. So why not start with transportation? If you're going to be paying for those folks using our federal tax dollars, then we're not going to subsidize your MBTA. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? And it should, because last hour we talked about that. We talked about the fact that if you cut money from the Department of Education because of if the federal government cuts money from the Department of Education to schools that still have diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, or people working on those programs and policies, then why don't you think that a similar cut could happen through the Department of Transportation because of SNAP and some of these other things? Because we already know, look, Elon Musk has come out and stated as such. He would like to make those types of cuts. This isn't Brian coming up with a harebrained idea. No, this is out there. If those cuts are made, then what happens to the MBTA and the commuter rail? I know I'm overthinking this. My brain is taxing. It's working overtime with stuff like this, and I probably shouldn't go down this particular road. The fares, I'm sorry, had it wrong. For people who qualify for the discount, the fare would be $6.50. Students at some universities can get discounted passes for a semester. But the discount for seniors like yours truly, for people that get state assistance, for disabled folks, not including those that are legally blind. Legally blind, you get to ride for free. And Medicare card holders. Is that going to be it now? We don't carry our Social Security card anymore. We just carry our Medicare card. We get the discount. Unbelievable. Anyway, the MBTA has had problems breaking even, never mind making a profit. All of these discounts and the fact that the program could see some severe cuts. And let's face it, I'm in the camp. I was in the camp long before there was Dogeing, long before there was Elon, long before there was Donald Trump as a presidential candidate, even going back to 2015, as an active libertarian, I have long called for the federal government not to be in these types of businesses, not using your tax dollars and my tax dollars for these types of programs. But now it seems to be coming to fruition. Now we've got this commuter rail. Mike, you know, and I know when it was decided that the commuter rail would be a thing, nobody thought that the Department of Transportation funding would get cut. Well, think again, because it's right there on the horizon. And after the Department of Defense, knock on the door. Guess who's next? But he didn't. 508-996-0500. Tim is off today. I'm Brian. And it's a pleasure, as always, to be with you. Just talking about the MBTA, we're already in a financial bind. And I'm wondering how you give all these discounts. You've got federal budget cuts looming. And then this unique service that the MBTA is going to roll out. And I suppose that, you know, if things start on schedule on March 25, where there's going to be a shuttle service. And here's how it works. You're in New Bedford. You're at, you can be at the Church Street stop, or you can be at the Whale's Tooth parking lot stop. You get on, you're heading up to, you're heading to Boston. And you get on the train, and you get to East Taunton. And you decide, well, I really want to go to Fall River, or you want to go to Freetown. You can get off at East Taunton and take one of these shuttle trains down to East Taunton. Now, these shuttle trains are going to run more regular than the actual train that's running from New Bedford straight up to the city. It's probably a little bit more advantageous when you want to leave the city or leave Braintree or leave Middleborough, whatever the case may be, to take the train coming back. Let's say you want to go to New Bedford, but the next available train is going to Fall River. Well, you would get off at East Taunton, and then when the shuttle comes up, and they'll stagger the times to make it work. But when that shuttle comes up, you can get on the shuttle train and then take that shuttle back to New Bedford. So they're going to have shuttles continuously running from East Taunton to New Bedford and East Taunton to Fall River. Again, to me, it sounds good. It really does sound good. But how many people are going to want to do this? And isn't this more or less a waste of somebody's tax dollar? 508-996-0500. Thank you. Hello.
I want to say that my first stamp, I can't exactly remember what the postal stamp was because it was in the 60s when I was a kid. And my mother was very notorious for us writing thank you notes to our grandparents and aunts and uncles if they gave us stuff for special occasions.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when I was about 6 or 7 years old, I actually, in pen, did a little stamp of George Washington, and they actually mailed it. I guess they got a big kick out of that this kid actually did a handmade pen stamp, for a stamp, and they sent it out without me putting a real stamp on it. And I didn't think they would, but I said, well, I'll give it a shot and see what happens.
And it got there?
And it got there.
Wow.
I guess they got a big kick out of that because, you know, seeing the kid's handwriting and everything, they knew it was from a child. And I love anything postal. I've been writing to pen pals since I was like 14 years old, all over the world. And postcards are very much alive today. I mean, there's an association called Post Crossing, which I belonged to for a while, but then it got pretty expensive and they just piled more people on you. It was just a lot. But postcards all over the world to a lot of people. And I have pen pals in this country and also abroad too that I've met in Fairfax, Virginia is one of them. And I've also met my other pen pal in New Jersey. And
so you would hate to see the Postal Service go.
Yes. And on the other side of that coin, I realize that there's a lot of theft that goes on with the post office now that people cannot be trust. Not everybody, but there's certain people that steal, and they try to take everything they can. And I know I've had cards that I've given for Christmas and birthdays and they've never received. They never reached the person.
Mm.
So apparently people are opening these cards to see if they can get any kind of money or checks or whatever. But also it's slow. It takes forever for a letter or anything to reach somebody. Whereas years ago, we had mail twice a day. I remember that very well.
Really? I only remember once a day. But
twice.
I believe you.
Once in the morning and once in the afternoon. And I took a trip with my daughter years ago to Weston, Massachusetts. And they have a post office there that has a little... museum connected to it, all postal. And I bought a book from the 1890s, a secondhand book for $30 on the history of the United States Postal Service. And fascinating. I just love anything postal and always have. and always will. That's always been like near and dear to my heart. And I still write letters and stuff, and post crossing. I mean, people, all ages, tons and tons of people do this. A lot of young people do it. It's just interesting to hear from people from all different parts of the world and experience things like that. So I just wanted to let you know that I really enjoy it. But
I think there are many people that do. I don't know how many that are listening to this station or this particular program. But you brought up pen pals, and you know, you don't hear too much about pen pals anymore. I do appreciate your call.
Oh, you're welcome, and have a great day now.
You too. 508-996-0500. You don't hear about pen pals anymore. When I was a kid, you used to hear about them all the time. And the question that popped into my head listening to this woman was, how many people even bother, you know, outside of Christmas cards, even bother to write letters anymore? No real surprise. It is still cold outside. ABC is going to let us know what they want us to know in just a bit. What do we have here? 18 degrees in Wareham.